Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in not the Right Side studios. I'm safely ensconced in a remote bunker in our nation's capital right now, preparing to go on CNN tonight. But yeah, nonetheless, we still have all the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. So, by the way, got a text a little while ago. Apparently, Allie from Athens was concerned. She heard my voice get a little raggedy there for a minute. Allie, thank you for the home remedies. All it really was I was choking on a bite of Pop-Tart. That's all it was.
I can confirm. I saw him eating the Pop-Tart in the break. So, yeah,
that's true. I was mowing it down real quick right before I came back on the air. I was traveling. I haven't had lunch. All right. Hey, listen, let's just jump on in. Let's set aside politics and policy and, you know, geopolitics and all of it. And let's do something we do every single Friday, brought to you by Inspire Advisors, by the way. Our buddy JP is actually a guru on sports. And so every single Friday, we do a segment called JP on Sports. First segment is called The Three and Out, top three stories as he sees it in sports land. And then we do come back from the break and do the second round, which is called the 2 minute warning, buzzer and a timer, 2 minutes on each story. He also, oh, by the way, has the best sound effect of all the sound effects, courtesy of Sorority Girls from Auburn. Hit it, buddy.
JP on Sports!
All right, man. JP on Sports. Take it away. Number one, what you got?
All right, so the top story in the sports world today, and by the way, I'm going to go ahead and warn Wolverine Dan, if he's listening, he may not like where I go with this. But so the NCAA, after 2.5 years... has finally come to its conclusion on their investigation into Michigan football and the cheating scandal, the sign stealing scandal, where they ended up winning the national championship. And let's just say, okay, so first, you know, you wonder, okay, well, do they have to vacate any wins from that season, you know, where they blatantly got cheating? No. Do they have to vacate their national championship that they won while they were, you know, caught blatantly cheating? No. Okay, well, at least, you know, they're under a postseason ban for this year, or maybe even 2 years, because, you know, they were blatantly caught cheating. No, not that either. You know, what they end up doing is they're fining Michigan $20 million, which may sound like a lot, but to Michigan, who's worth over $1 billion, is really not much. So Connor Stallions, the coach who was doing the sign stealing, got an 8-year show cause penalty if he were to enter back into college sports and coaching, which right now he's an offensive coordinator in high school football. And Jim Harbaugh has got a 10-year show cause penalty if he ever decided to go back into college football. Jerome Moore then got an extra game suspension to the already 3-game suspension or 2-game suspension Michigan was self-imposing on him this year. And then that was pretty much it. That's pretty much all Michigan got in terms of a punishment for, as I say again, blatantly caught cheating and won a national championship off of it. And to their response, the NCAA put out a statement as to why they didn't give Michigan a postseason ban this year. They said, well, we didn't want to punish coaches and players that actually were involved in the direct cheating. And my response to that is, then don't take 2.5 years to investigate it. You know, like you took 2.5 years, which all the evidence was already on Twitter within like 2 weeks of the Connor Stallion story breaking. The video of him with glasses and a hat on the Central Michigan sideline stealing signs for an earlier game for Michigan was already on the internet. You know, the message boards had all of the evidence apparently before the NCAA even knew what was going on. And by the way, Netflix also did a documentary with Connor Stallions himself where he openly talked about how he cheated and the methods he used, how he was taught when he was a coach at Navy how to do it, and yada, yada, yada. And the NCAA 2.5 years later, it's like, oh, yeah, they were caught cheating, but what can we do? We don't want to punish the poor players. It's like this, if you could encapsulate the NCAA in one story, it's this one. They have no teeth. They have no power. And Michigan, they won a national championship, cheated throughout the whole season, and they just got to pay $20 million, pretty much paid off the NCAA, and then they can keep the national championship and keep going. So now, I guess the precedent is set. You can cheat, and then the NCAA would just make you kind of pay a little fine, and then that's it.
a little fine. That's not a little fine to you and me, but yeah, for them, that's the cost of doing business. That's a hiccup.
Hey, if it costs $20 million to cheat and win a national championship, I will help write a check for Alabama to do that next year. We'll cheat. We will cheat like you've never seen before. So I don't that's a travesty in my opinion that the NCAA let them get away with that, and it's nonsense.
Don't beat around the bush. Tell us how you feel.
I think part of it is because Michigan was Saban's last game ever that season. So, yeah.
Oh, well. So. All right, that's one. What's two?
All right, so last week I talked about this record-breaking, groundbreaking deal that the NFL made with ESPN. Well, now we have another deal this week that may have even topped it because the UFC has now signed a deal with CBS that is worth $7.7 billion over 7 years, and it pretty much gets rid of the pay-per-view model, because now if you get Paramount Plus, which is CBS's streaming platform, for $30 a year, you get every UFC event. So now you don't have to pay $80 for a UFC pay-per-view, because the way it used to be was you had to have ESPN Plus, and then you had to pay on top of that $80 for a UFC pay-per-view. Yeah. So now the pay-per-views are already in with the Paramount Plus deal. You have Paramount Plus, you have all of the UFC events, including the pay-per-view events. And that, like I said, this is a groundbreaking deal because it could have a crack in the armor for the pay-per-view model for combat sports across the board, because we've already seen boxing have like a couple of Jake Paul events in Netflix where there was no pay-per-views. So it could be the model moving forward where these combat sport leagues, they just get a deal with a company and the streaming platform for that company just automatically has it involved. So that's a major step moving forward. Also, it gives you a bit of a look into how much the UFC has gone mainstream. UFC's past pay-per-view or deal with ESPN was $1.7 billion over 7 years. This one is $7.7 billion over 7 years with CBS. So that is and only a five-year difference there. That's just how much UFC has gone mainstream. So that is the Netflix or the NFL deal we thought couldn't be topped. I think the UFC just topped it within a week.
And UFC is Dana White, right?
That's Dana White. That's correct.
Yeah, that guy, man. I mean, you tell you what. Is he a billionaire yet?
Oh yeah, he's well on his way to be a billion. His net worth is currently, let's see, as it's loading. Yeah, he's almost a billionaire. $500 million. But I'm sure that may be going up a little bit after this deal. So yeah.
No kidding. Wow. Okay. All right. That's two. What's three? We got about 3 minutes. What do you got?
So, if you guys, any NFL watchers out there, noticed that during the George Floyd stuff in 2020, the NFL decided, along with the NBA, to put these end racism signs on the NFL field. So that ever since, if you look in the end zone, in the back, the white part of the end zone behind the logo says end racism. Today, the NFL has just renewed that. You must continue to put end racism. Oh, well, let me excuse you. You have a list of options here. You can either do end racism, stop hate, choose love, or inspire change as a part of the end zone. But every single team in the NFL as of today, or yesterday actually, the NFL is making them continue to do this. So
this is required?
Yes, it's required. Each NFL team has to put one of those four in the back of their end zones. And it's one of those things where you can tell the NFL dug its grave when it first decided to do this, because now if they remove end racism, the riots of, oh, what? You're removing end racism, even though, like I said, they did this in 2020 during the riots and stuff. But now they're in a position, they're scared to take it down because of the image that would put out. So the NFL's stuck. We may be in like 2075 and continuing to have end racism in the back of the end zones in the NFL. It's hilarious to me. But hey, they dug that grave, that they made that bed, they got to lay in it. So that's
no doubt. That's okay. It's a virtue signal.
Yes.
But if it makes somebody feel good, okay. But choose love, inspire change. It doesn't feel like an NFL game.
No.
Messaging.
It does
it?
Not. Definitely.
I'm
not.
Pretty sure I'm pretty sure that's not the way the halftime speeches go in the locker room.
No, guys, we need to inspire change. Stop hate.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, listen, you've been a little rough out there. How about you choose love for once, please?
Choose love. Yeah. Exactly.
All right, that's first round of JP on Sports, brought to you by Inspire Advisors. I'll tell you more about Inspire Advisors here momentarily. But in the meantime, let's take a break right now. We'll take that break. We'll come right back for round two, the two-minute warnings. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, appreciate all of y'all being dialed in with us. Thank you so much. I am operating remotely right now from a bunker, but it's really a hotel room in our nation's capital. Going to be on CNN tonight, 9 p.m. Appreciate y'all checking in if you would. That being said, it's round two of JP on Sports. We call it the two-minute warning. I've got a timer with a buzzer, and I'm going to set it right now. JP, first story, 2 minutes, go.
Well, Alabama has officially announced that Ty Simpson is the starting quarterback for this upcoming season. Not much of a surprise. It's kind of been known for most of the offseason that Ty Simpson was separating himself from the rest of the group. This was the top QB battle in the SEC and one of the top nationwide. You know, down in the plains at Auburn, it's been pretty settled that Jackson Arnold is the guy. So, you know, across the board, SEC, this was really the main quarterback battle. Ty Simpson finally getting the starting job after waiting 5 years. He sat behind Bryce Young and Jalen Milroe, waited his turn, didn't go in the transfer portal, and it's ending up paying off for him, and he's going to be the starter for Alabama this upcoming season. However, Ryan Grubb, the new offensive coordinator, actually said, you know, Ty Simpson was the best, you know, quarterback across the board this whole offseason. However, the guy who improved the most this offseason was Keelan Russell, who is the five-star quarterback freshman who is the top recruit to ever come to Alabama. So that's, if you're an Alabama fan, that is the best scenario. Ty Simpson being the best guy and then Keelan the freshman improving the most in the offseason, I would say. However, a lot of people are raising questions. Is this a good thing or a bad thing? You know, with this, the post-Saban era where the starting quarterback is being announced 2 weeks before the first game. I mean, heck, when Saban was coach, it could be the national championship and the starting quarterback is not even safe. We saw that firsthand in 2017. And, you know, it'd be 5 weeks in, 6 weeks in, and Saban saying, we'll just keep playing the best guy. Who knows? Is it a bad thing that, you know, DeBoer is already showing his cards before the first game even comes up? Or is this even bigger chess where Ty Simpson's not even going to be the starting quarterback week one? It's actually going to be Keelan Russell after he announced it. We come either way, but who knows? Yeah, I don't know if I read that much into it. It is interesting though how differently, you know, DeBoer and Saban have gone about, you know, announcing starting quarterbacks before the season. Saban didn't want the press to know. He didn't really care. But I guess it's a new era with DeBoer here in T-town.
Oh wow. Okay. So by the way, there's a timer. Hit it. There we go. All right. But I got to ask you real quick before we go to the next one. You're saying Keelan is the top player to ever come to Alabama?
The top ranked recruit to ever come to Alabama.
Did not know that.
Yes.
Okay. That's very cool. All right. As an Auburn fan, I don't care. Anyway, moving on. Next story. Go.
So, you know, the Shedeur Sanders story was massive with this past NFL draft because he slid all the way to the fifth round. Some people had him as the top quarterback going in this past draft class, and some people were saying it was racism. People didn't want a confident young black quarterback to come and be the star of their team. Deion Sanders scared him away, whatever. I don't think any of those are true. But he had his first preseason game, and he played very well. He went 14-23, 138 yards, and 2 touchdown passes. Here's the thing, though, okay? They're already taking victory laps. It's a preseason game, and people are already saying, everybody's regretting it now. Everybody's going to pay. Look what he did the preseason game. Everybody looks stupid now, don't they? I just like to remind them that this is a preseason game where I think the competition Shedeur played in college was probably just as good, if not maybe a little bit better than what was being shown out there on the preseason. I would say it's about equal to what he saw at Colorado. If he's going to be the guy, which right now the depth chart, the Browns put out has him as the fourth quarterback right now, so he's not really going to see the field going into the NFL season. But I find it funny, though. It's funny that people are already taking victory laps. Nike put up a post about him, you know, with one of their catchy, you know, phrases up there. I would think it's a little bit too early to be taking a victory lap on Shedeur Sanders just yet. I would hold off just a little bit. I want him to do well. Yeah, I want Shedeur to do awesome, but I don't know. It's just funny to me that the preseason game is already calling people and having people say the NFL teams made a mistake passing on Shedeur Sanders. It's like, let's wait. Let's take a breath. Let's wait a little bit.
I just hope with about 10 seconds left here, I just hope that Shedeur Sanders finds a measure of humility.
Yeah, just a little
somewhere
bit.
In the mix.
If sliding to the fifth round doesn't do it, then something, I don't know what will. I don't know what will, Joe.
And there's your time. All right, resetting the clock. We got time. Sure, go ahead. Time, 2 minutes, go.
Rush Probst is back, people.
Oh, my
gosh. He's back in high school football. Listen, the controversial coach who made his fame at Hoover High School back in the early 2000s, he's bounced around from school to school, had controversy to controversy, both in the coaching field, but also his personal life, being aired out. But now that Coosa Christian, which is actually right down the road from us here in Gaston, they suspended their coach for violations that the coach made this past season. And what's a better way to show that you're distancing yourself from the corruption? You're going to do things the right way, the straight and narrow, and you're going to promote Rush Probst to be your head coach for this upcoming season. I find that funny to me. I mean, he is the co-head coach technically at Coosa Christian, or was, so they're promoting internally. So I understand if you want to promote internally to have a coach that the players already know. But I just find that a little ironic. You suspend your coach for this year for violations, and you're going to promote Rush Purse to be your coach. Who knows? Maybe he's left that, his old coaching style behind. He's ready to do things the right way now. But part of me just thinks that's probably not true. He was at Pell City, I think it was a school in 2023, and this is his first time coaching since that. He hasn't won a state championship since 2005 at Hoover. We'll see. But I know one thing. It's going to be, if you're a Coosa Christian player, I think the media is going to be packed out every single game you play. So maybe they like that. Maybe they like having all the attention. It may be fun, but who knows?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I know Coosa Christian pretty well. I've been over there many times. And it's a very small school. It's a school that's got great people, but you're talking about the guy who used to have his own reality TV show called Hoover U.
Yep.
And had basically a 7A school that had facilities better than most colleges. And now he's playing for a very small private school in Gadsden. And so, wow, that's just whole different world.
Oh yeah, quite the bit different world. But like I said, I mean, if I'm a player, I love it. I love it.
All right, do we have time? What do we got? What do we got?
We got about 30 seconds.
Take it. Overtime. Go.
All right, well, we got the playoffs for the PGA Tour continuing to go on here. Last week, we had Justin Rose pulling off. He actually won in a playoff. I think it was a 3 or 4 round playoff where they had to play the 18th hole over and over and over and over between JJ Spahn and Justin Rose because they kept tying. But eventually, Justin Rose came out with the win. And then this week, we got Robert McIntyre, who is currently out in front at 14 under. Scottie Scheffler behind him at 9 under. Big storyline, Rory McIlroy back this week after not playing last week, and he's currently sitting tied at 12th at 11-4 under. And so we'll see. We'll see if he can make a run, and next week is the final round.
All right, good job, man. That's JP on sports. Listen, we're going to take a break right now. Come back for the final half hour. Get you to go home time on a Friday afternoon. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.